Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Now, the title of my message today is Don't Get Stuck. Don't get stuck. Tell your neighbor, say, don't get stuck. Hallelujah. We're going to do a lot of reading today, but I believe that you are going to be blessed. Amen. Now, let's start in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 11, common scripture. Jeremiah chapter 29, we are reading from verse 11. Are we there? I still see some Bibles turning. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament, chapter 29 and verse 11. Amen. The Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Hallelujah. God says, "I know the thoughts." God is forever thinking about you. Are you listening to me, somebody? And he says, "I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. I think that's powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Phineas, I'm happy to see more of you. Keep it up. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 9. Are we there? "But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him." Hallelujah. Can you see that God has prepared things for you? Can you see that God has plans for you? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, let's read from verse 1. "Holy, you are holy, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, seated, seated at the right hand of the Father. You are holy, holy, are holy." Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus." Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Hallelujah. Another wonderful scripture. The Bible says that God has blessed us. Not that he will bless you. He has already blessed you. With how many? How many? Two blessings. How many? All blessings. He has already blessed us. Venenza, you are already blessed. It's already done. It's already complete.
Amen.
But the problem is that they are in heavenly places. They are there. They are yours. They are ready for you. But they are in heavenly places. They are not in Cape Town. They are not in Eastern Cape. They are not in Zimbabwe. They are in heavenly places. Someone say in heavenly places. Eish. But they are there. They are available for you. And you can have access to them anytime you want. It's just that the problem, they are in heavenly places. So what I'm trying to get at here is that when God does things, God already knows the end in the beginning. He's already prepared your life. He already knows what he wants to happen in your life. Your life is set up. Are you listening to me? And we know that all things that God does are good. God cannot do evil. And the Bible says that everything he has prepared for us is ready for us. And we know, he says, I know the thoughts. He said the thoughts are for peace. The thoughts are for good. They are not for evil. To get you to an expected end. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a journey. When you enter into this world, from the time that you are conceived, you see, God doesn't recognize you from the time that you are born. He recognizes you from the time that you are conceived. According to God, if you are 10 years old, or if you are 20, or if you are 30, according to God, you are 30 and 9 months. Depending how long you took before you came out. Some of you came out a bit early, you are in a hurry. Some of you took longer than expected. But while you are in your mother's womb, God already knew you. He said it to Jeremiah. In fact, he even said, before you were formed, I already knew you. So from the day you are conceived, you have begun a journey. And a couple of years ago, I preached one of the most important messages I've preached in my life. And I preached a message where I told you that I already know your destiny. It's clear in the Bible. Your destiny is that you must become like Jesus. Your journey in life is a journey of you becoming like Jesus. Are you listening to me, somebody? Now the problem is that even though God has good plans for you, even if God has a will for you, even if God has a plan for you, even if God has greatness for you, a lot of believers get stuck on the way. I want to show you some scriptures that have been blessing me of late in Ephesians. In the same chapter 1, let's start it from verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. Are we there? Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. This is where you must start concentrating. It says that you may know. So the reason why I'm praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, the reason I am praying that your eyes will be enlightened, is so that you may know. Somebody say that I may know. So what does Paul want you to know? He wants you to know the hope of your calling. In other words, there is a blessing, a great blessing when God calls you. There is a great honor when God calls you. So Paul says that, I want you to know what is in being called. Don't be just satisfied, just moving around on the earth without hearing the call of God. That you may know what is the hope of God's calling. That's number one. Number two, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So then Paul tells us that God has an inheritance for us. You know, a lot of us black people, instead of receiving inheritance, sometimes rather we have something called black tax. Have you heard of black tax? When you start working, you can't start building your home, you can't start buying a house, you have to remember where you come from. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Many of us, when our parents leave us, they don't leave us with anything. They leave us with zero. Some of our parents even leave us kadikoloto. But the Bible says that you have an inheritance. Your God has prepared an inheritance for you. So regardless of how your parents left you, how they took care of you or didn't take care of you, or whatever they did or did not do, God has prepared an inheritance for you. Are you listening to me? Ah, Holy Ghost. My God, who sent me here to preach to you, loves you so much you don't even know. Who do you know who will send his only begotten son to come and die? I've never heard of anybody. During this Russia-Ukraine war, I was watching the news the other day and I saw them interviewing an old couple. Bakhalabe, am I saying it correctly? Old. And they were explaining the trauma that they saw, that they're experiencing. When they explained the explosions, because some of these bombs, I saw one country, I don't know whether it's North Korea, I think it is. They were testing a bomb that they can, it's a missile. They can, I don't know the technical language, but they can set it off in Korea. And within an hour, it can bomb America or any country in the world. Now imagine something that was from Korea coming to bomb your area. You will hear it. It will shake the earth. And these are the things they're experiencing there. And as the lady was explaining, they said that we had to leave where we come from so that we can go to a safer place. And then she started crying. And her husband started crying. And they said that the way the situation was, we left our mother in the house. So as they are in that place, they don't know whether their mother is alive. They don't know whether their mother is dead. Because when they felt the explosion, they said, and they just disappeared. But not your God. His only begotten son, whom he loved. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He sent him for you and me. So that God has prepared an inheritance for you. Tell your neighbor, say, I have an inheritance. tell your other neighbor, say, I have an inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah. And when you withdraw from that inheritance, is up to you. You see, that's why Paul was praying that you must receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, your eyes being open to the fact that you have an inheritance. Because if your eyes are not open to that inheritance, you are just living like a poor person. You are living like a person who has no family. You are living like a person who has no father. But at that point, your father, I mean, he says the earth is his footstool. The earth. It's only when your eyes are open to that reality that you can start saying, but God, where is my inheritance? So Paul is praying for them that your eyes may be enlightened so that you may see. That's the second thing that Paul wanted them to see. The third one is the one that has been shaking me of late. Verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Then it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Now that word, to usward who believe, it means that there is power that is in you, the believer. It's already in you. Not that it's going to be in you. It's already in you. And that word, to usward who believe, it also means that that power is for you. What does that mean? It means that it is supposed to benefit you. Power. Now, what type of power is this? Verse 20. No, the same verse 19. Let me start it again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. So it's not just power, it's mighty power. It's mighty. Oh God. And it's already in you. My sister, mighty power is already in you. Not that it's going to be in you, it is already. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Listen to this power. Paul explains and says, this power that is in you is the same mighty power that God used when he resurrected Jesus from the dead. That power didn't just stop there. It resurrected him and then it took him and set him at the right hand side of God. Amen. It's in you. Amen. And then it continues to say that that power that resurrected Jesus and set him on his right hand side, it set him far. Someone say far. Above all, not some, all principalities. What are principalities? Principalities are angels. The power that is in you, that is working in you, just because one day you said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he came to die for my sins. I believe that on the third day he rose from the dead. I believe that he is seated at the right hand side of the Father. Because you said those words in faith, a power entered you. And not a cheap power, resurrection power. It's in you. It's in me. It's working in you. It's working in me. And that power has the potential to sit you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus while you're on earth. Far above principalities. Far above power. Far above might. Far above dominion. Far above every name that is named on earth and in heaven. Far above. Amen. This power is in you. Somebody say, this power is in me. Now, look at what God has invested in your life. There's so much great glory. As I read this thing, I started praying. I said, Holy Ghost, what are you trying to say to me? Mantokopara, Beshakai. Then God said to me, there is nothing, nothing, nothing that anyone in this world can give you that is greater than what I've already given you. That is what is greater than what I have prepared for you. I was telling them yesterday that even if they can make you president, being president is small compared to what God has prepared for you. Even if all the presidents, all the African presidents, all the European presidents, all the Asian presidents, all the North American presidents, the South American president, the Australian president, if they can all come together and say, no, we need a new leader. Let's make Sandile a leader. Let's make Phineas a leader. God says, even if they can all give you that glory and power, it's still small compared to what I have prepared for you. It's small. Now look at what your father has set for you. But the pain is that as we are walking in this journey, in the path to the greatness that God has for us, we get stuck. We get stuck. And sometimes, yes, the things that make us get stuck, yes, they are real issues. But if you compare the issue to what's waiting for you, don't get stuck. Amen. Pastor, I hear what you are saying, but I've been raped 3 times. See, being raped is painful. You know, I was just thinking about this thing, and I've come to the conclusion that, because you know, when some people go through things, sometimes we encourage them to say that, you know, don't worry. Whatever you are going through, God is preparing you for something bigger. Let me tell you something. God loves you. He will not cause rape to prepare you for something. No, 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 no. That is the work of Satan. It is the work of darkness. It is the work of wickedness. It is the work of evil. God can't make you go through so much pain just to make you stronger. There's many, many other ways. Something like rape is a scar that cannot go away. So, but if unfortunately you've experienced such a trauma, many people get stuck. Don't get stuck. Even if you went through that pain, don't stay there. Though a righteous man may fall 7 times, yet will he rise again. Don't stop there. It's painful, I know. It's sad, I know. It's difficult, I know. But there is something greater that is waiting for you, that if you can just keep going. Pastor, when I was growing up, my parents didn't treat me well. Pastor, when I was growing up, oh pastor, my child died. How can God allow my child to die? How can God? Don't get stuck, Mzalwane. Don't get stuck. I know the pain. I know the difficulties. I know it. But don't get stuck. Keep going. There's something greater waiting for you. All these things. The reason why Satan is fighting you so much, because he knows where you are going. So he's trying to stop you by making you go through things that will cause you to question God, so that you get stuck, so that you don't get to where God wants you to go. God has called me here today to encourage somebody that don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going. God is with you. He's encouraging you. He's saying, keep going, my child. Keep going, my daughter. Keep going, my son. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. There's too much that has been invested. Too much. Too much that has been invested in you.
It's too much glory awaiting you. It's too much. Too much. Don't look at your circumstances and feel down and feel like your God has left you. He hasn't left you. There are forces that don't want you to see what is ready for you, what is awaiting you. Just keep going. Keep going, somebody. Keep going, somebody. Keep going. You will make it. You will make it. Even if it takes you time. Some of your friends are making it. Some of your friends, they are doing well. And you start asking yourself, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? God, I've been trying. God, I've been praying. God, I've been fasting. God, I've been crying. What's wrong with me? Don't stop. He's not finished with you. He's still working with you. He's got a plan for your life. Hey, to give you an expected end. The devil doesn't want to see you there because they know when you get there, you'll be a problem for them. When you get there, it will be a disaster for the kingdom of darkness. Don't stop. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not gonna stop. The devil tried, but I'm not stopping. I say it like a soldier. I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna stop. Somebody stand on your feet and say, I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna stop. I will keep going. I will keep going. Yes, I feel the pain, but I keep going. I keep going. I keep going. I keep going. I'm not stopping, Lord. I know I'm not stopping. I know that you love me. I know that you care for me. I keep going. I keep going until your glory will begin to manifest in my life. Until your glory will begin to shine through me. Until people can see Jesus in me. I will keep going. I will keep going. I'm not stopping in the mighty name of Jesus. Make paraba shantala. Separia kapurabaya. Lift up your voice and speak some tongues. Open your mouth. Hey, antika palada. Repaka paraba shanta. Ratepaka parabusi. Mantereba kaparaba. Rapantereba kura. Repaka para. Repakaya. I have an inheritance in Christ. Devil, you're not gonna stop me. I'm going for my inheritance that my God has prepared for you, for me. Resapola paya. Repaya. There is great power in me. Not just some cheap power, not some second-hand power, but resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. It's working in me. It's flowing in my veins. It's flowing in my body. It's flowing in my life. It's flowing in my soul. Open your mouth. Confess. Repa shatakaya. Rapocha kaparia. Repate karaba. Rapache kapala. Repacha paraba. Repae. Rapada baraba. Raparia. Reparia. Rapariate. Repeato. Raparia paya. Repaco robos. Reparaba. The devil thought he had you. But today, you are not gonna stop. You will keep going. They thought they had you. They thought they had finished you. They thought it was over. But they didn't know that your God loves you. They didn't know that your God cares for you. They didn't know that your God hasn't given up on you. Hey, Shapayake, Repa Sapai, Shotoko, Repa Kapai, Ropo Shapala, Repa Kotopaya, Shandere Bakaya. Moko Puraba Shandere Bakaya. Somebody say, I won't stop. I won't stop. You may be seated. You know, someone like Judas Iscariot, he was almost there. 5-2. 5-2. There was just a few months left before the Holy Ghost will come upon them. Before his title will be changed from disciple to apostle. He was 5'2". But all he could see was money. All he could see is what I need. All he could see is that I need to do something for my children. But he didn't know that he was just about to enter his destiny, and that the glory that God had prepared for him was just around the corner. God sent me with a message today to tell somebody, don't give up. As we are going in this journey, you will face problems. And some of us have faced them already. But my God wants me to let you know, don't stop. Don't stop. Too much has been invested in you. Too much. Some of you should be dead already. But because of what God has invested in you, he said no. He said no. He said no. Make parabasha kapaya. Some of you may be saying, Pastor, I hear what you are saying, but I'm old now. I'm an old man. I'm an old woman. I'm uneducated. I don't have degrees. I don't have anything that's fancy. Do you know how old Abraham was when God called him? 75 years old. 75. When he had his first encounter with God, and God was going to use him. 75. That today, when you sing songs, some of the songs you sing about Father Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. And you are singing about somebody who started his life at 75. When Moses started feeling the call of God, he was 40 years old. Did you know? And he was feeling the call of God, and he saw some Egyptian soldier abusing his brother, an Israelite. Now Moses had an anger problem. He rushed and killed the Egyptian. And when he realized that it is known, he ran away. And he was a fugitive for 40 years. 40 plus 40, now he's 80. He's nowhere. Nothing is happening in his life at the age of 80. Because sometimes as the years go, the more you get 1 year older, depression is increasing. 1 year older, stress is increasing. 1 year older, because when you are looking at where you are, when he was 80 years old, he was taking care of sheep, and he saw a burning bush that wasn't being finished. And he said, let me see, why is this thing not finishing? While he was looking, he heard a voice, Moses, Moses. At the age of 80, that transformed his life forever. It's not over. You are nowhere close to 80. Some of you, you are still 30. You are still 40. You are already discouraged and depressed. My God came to tell me to tell you, don't give up. Don't get stuck there. Keep going. The other day, I bumped into a video of a gentleman who started Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. That guy said, the reason he started KFC, nothing was working. He had been a soldier all his life. Now he was old, he was retiring. When he came back home, he had nothing. He had no skill because he was a soldier. There's no job. After you've been a soldier, you can't now and say, okay, can I do accounting? No, no, no. You don't have that skill. His life at 60 years old, zero. Then he said, let me do some chicken. And he was frying some chicken. And I think he started his chicken licking at 65. By the age of 67, he was a millionaire. 67. You are 40, you are already. Mudimu wako. You are 40. Tell your neighbor, don't get stuck. Don't stop there. The journey is still long. Let's keep going. 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 I don't know about you, but I'm not gonna stop. I'm not. You know, our Lord and our Savior, when he was at the cross, now This is the person whom it is written of, that there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He's one of them. When God said, let us make man, he was in that meeting. Where were you? Where were you? Were you in that meeting? Jesus was in that meeting. When he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him have dominion. He was in that meeting. The Son of the living God. And he's standing on the cross. Just think about this great person on the cross there. They are spitting on him. If you are the Son of God, come out. Come out. See, people by nature are designed to discourage you and make you feel small. They didn't know who they were talking to. They didn't know that they are talking to somebody who's great. The Bible says that even his brothers didn't believe in him. Some of us, the type of families we come from, even our family members don't believe in him. I'm reminded of David. David came from a family of 8 children. When a prophet came to the house and said, God has chosen one of your sons to be a king, the father didn't even remember that David was one of his sons. He brought all his children. They were standing up, lining up here. The other one was muscular, a macho man. Then even the prophet almost got deceived. And he said, sure, this is the king that God has chosen. Then God said, say, we don't look at outside, we look at inside. Then he started examining them. First one, no, it's not him. Second one, no, it's not him. Third, fourth, fifth, seventh. Then the prophet is there. Then the prophet had to say, are these all your sons? The father didn't say, hey, there's another one. Go call him. No, no, no. The prophet had to say, are these all your sons? Then the father said, there's another boy taking care of sheep. Then the prophet said, we will not sit down till he gets here because his time has come. And he was called and he was brought there. Don't miss the Easter conference. There's a message that is fire in my bones. And he come. Some small and young boy who smelled like sheep, who smelled like the sun. Do you know some people who smell like the sun? Even here, you can feel that. Yes, they smell like they are workers. David came and God said, this is the one that I have chosen. And they took a horn of oil. You know, those days they don't anoint you like I anoint you. There they take a horn full of oil and pour it on you. And David was anointed, the least in his family. Don't let anything stop you. Don't allow yourself to get stuck. There's too much greatness at stake. Too much. I believe in you so much you don't even know. I believe that here in Nalmapias, here, one of my desires is that Nalmapias will be the center of the world. The center. That when people come to South Africa, instead of saying Zulu, Zulu, or instead of saying Mandela, Mandela, they'll say Nalmapias. Where is Nalmapias? Before I leave South Africa, I must pass there because you are here. Your amens are not blessing me. Can I hear a lot of amen? Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, neighbor, I am going to put Nalmapias on the map. Yeah. Do you know what that means? People will recognize it because of you. Because you are here. Hallelujah. I like John the Baptist. When he was a young man, he went to the wilderness. We were reading about him yesterday in Matthew chapter 3. And the Bible says that his clothing was camel's hair. And he had a leather belt. I'm sure that was not the fashion of the day. I'm sure it wasn't. But that's what he was wearing. Do you know what was his food? The Bible says he ate locusts. I was telling them that nobody goes to a restaurant and sit down with his wife, with his children, or businessmen who are sitting down ready to talk business, and then the waiter comes and say, "What can I get you, gentlemen?" And they say, "I feel like locusts." No, nobody is like that. But the food that John the Baptist was eating was locusts. But my God, in the wilderness where he was, the Bible says people came from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital city. The Bible says people came from Judea. Judea is even another country. But they are coming to the wilderness where John is. They were looking for him. And even his message that he was preaching, he was saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He wasn't talking messages that made people feel happy. He said, "Repent, you are a sinner. Stop sinning. Repent. Serve God. Serve God with all your heart, with passion, with truth." And they were coming to him in the wilderness to a gentleman eating locusts. And some of them, as they were coming to his church, he said, "Vipers, snake." Aye! Think about a pastor who's calling his church members snakes. If I start calling you snakes, you won't come next week. But because he was in the wilderness, people knew that God was there, and they searched for him. To the point that Jesus said, "Amongst men who are born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest." That statement is troubling me. God, what do you mean? Have you heard of Moses? Have you heard of the man who pointed at the sea and it opened and people walked on dry ground? But Jesus said, "Of born of men, John the Baptist is the greatest." God, have you heard of Joshua, who was fighting the enemy and saw that the sun is going down, and he looked at the sun and said, "Stop there, wait a minute, let me finish what I'm doing here before you move on." And he killed all of them. And when he finishes the sun, "Now you can continue your job." What do you mean that John the Baptist is the greatest amongst those born of women? This is because many of us, we don't see the true glory that is awaiting us. And we are being stuck because we are chasing money, we are chasing jobs, we are chasing, to the point that we forget the inheritance that we have. Put your hands together for Jesus. Make parasanda rabushata kapala repakate rashanda devara roshata kaparaba repakaparabashata repakaparayana. I'm talking to somebody here today. Somebody, I'm talking to you. God has sent me to you. He says, "Don't stop where you are. Don't stop there. Don't get stuck. Keep going. Keep going." Somebody say, "Keep going." Somebody say, "Keep going." Hallelujah. Praise and worship, please come. Let's all rise to our feet. Before I sit down, I want to pray for you. When I was praying this morning, I saw somebody's feet chained. And in the name of Jesus Christ, those chains are breaking today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say, "Those chains are breaking today." Say it like a soldier. Say it like a believer. The chains are falling off. Open your mouth, begin to pray. Pray for yourself. Tell the Lord that, "Father, I'm not getting stuck anymore. I'm not stopping anymore. I'm going forward. I'm going to chase the destiny that you have for me." Open your mouth and pray, somebody. Please, if you see somebody not praying, go to them and shake them. Tell them that this is a matter of destiny. Open your mouth and pray.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.